Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 3:16 p.m. that is Central Time. Today is December 20th. I thought we'd kick off with Turkey in here today. We've seen a really quite profound appreciation in the lira, and it's in direct response to the intervention by the government. So they've basically said to retail investors in particular that they're going to be made whole, so that there's no need to go out and buy US dollars, because if anyone were to take a loss on their domestic holdings versus foreign currencies, that the government will intervene and make them whole. So that's begun to reinstate some confidence in the currency, and this was a really profound move. It's also appearing to hold pretty close to what is normally the case in terms of government intervention in supporting currencies, because usually what happens is you get the central bank intervening, and that puts a temporary floor under the market. Then traders try to test it, and in this case they tested it and really succeeded in pushing the currency significantly lower from where it from where the initial intervention was towards the end of last month. And now those shorts are getting pressured. So a lot of this trading took place in US time. So we've had a really significant appreciation in the Turkey ETF, and it looks like it's put in a low of at least near term, potentially medium term significance. And based upon the move that we've had today, even a modest follow through tomorrow would signify a failed downside break. So certainly some of the biggest anxiety that people have been expressing about the conditions in Turkey are at least being allayed in the short term. It doesn't necessarily mean that all the problems have simply gone away, but this puts at least a temporary floor under the market. Then when we think about Chile, well, the ETF there was also fairly volatile today because the left-leaning government came through with a really quite substantial margin of victory in the presidential runoff. So the Chilean ETF is breaking down, and does look like it's going to go back and at least test the lows. Of course, this whole social justice movement that's been gripping many of the countries in Latin America is putting downward pressure on the currencies too. So the Chilean peso is breaking downwards. And there's real talk about renegotiating royalty rates for copper producers. So that's not going to be particularly welcome from the perspective of the mining companies. BHP is steadying in the region of the trend mean right now, and it certainly has some work to do in order to, I think, begin to reinstate confidence, but at least it is holding the 2000 P level. And I think we do need to look at plenty of back history to really just get a grip on how long the price has been ranging for, because the last time we were above 2000 for any measurable period of time was 2011. And of course, then the big question is, if there is issues with royalties and production in Chile as being the biggest producer of copper, well, then that's also something that could potentially support the price. So it was off the lows in here today. Then when we think about what's going on in the wider stock markets, well, the Omicron variant has reared up in the UK. And and over the weekend, there was a lot of data about the rising hospitalization rate. So the NASDAQ opened lower and opened right in the region of the lows from earlier this month and the region of the peak from back in September. And it didn't break down. It paired the loss intraday, but there's still a gap there. And it really has some work to do in order to demonstrate that we are coming into an area of support building. And the Russell 2000 is also right in the region of the lower side of its range, and it was also closing off the low in here today. And this doesn't look like a bullish chart, where we have the lengthier range following a really explosive breakout, and then the failed upside break and the very big dynamic failure as well, and then came straight back down to test the lower side of the range. So it's barely steady here, and it really has work to do. And a clear upward dynamic would, I think, help to allay fears that we're not going to have a breakdown from this level. And I think it's also particularly interesting that Bitcoin was off its lows in here today. At one point, it was down $1,000, and it's closing out the day up about 500. So still finding support in the region of the 200-day moving average. Now, there are clear arguments on the bullish side that the price could break out and rally really impressively in 2022, and that it would be normal to see a really huge move after a halving, and that we've had a big move, but not a sufficiently large move to compare with the kinds of advances we've had after subsequent or the previous halvings. Challenge with looking at all that back history is that 4 years ago, Bitcoin as and the cryptocurrency world in particular was just about coming up towards the trillion mark. Bitcoin alone now is around 800 and something, 850 billion, and the whole market is. Was at least back in November touching the 2 trillion level. And the biggest, I think, are the most ambitious of the targets are somewhere around 130,000. So the price could go up 2.5 times from here. And of course, that would imply that Bitcoin alone would be worth nearly 2 trillion. And then that the wider cryptocurrency world would be obviously worth more as well, because it wouldn't be expected that Bitcoin rally on its own. But nobody seems to have an answer for where are the additional $2 trillion going to come from in order to support that price, because it either has to come out of something else, or that money has to be printed. And one of the reasons why the price was lower in here today was because the US negotiations for the Build Back Better program, which was a $2 billion spending plan, are foundering. It certainly doesn't mean that some sort of deal isn't going to be cobbled together eventually, but quite whether it's going to be quite as large as initially anticipated, or just what it will contain, remain very much open to interpretation or speculation, and it's not going to happen this year. So by the time the politicians get back to work in early January and then start negotiating and horse trading again, well, it might be well into February before we get some sort of visibility on exactly what's to be expected. And China cut the shorter term deposit rates in here today, so or lending rates, I should say. So that hasn't affected mortgage rates, because mortgage rates are set off the 5-year. But at least it's a signal that they're beginning to make increasingly large amounts of credit available, both to consumers and to the banking sector. But the CSI 300 was in negative territory today, and it's a failed upside breakout of this range that's been forming for the last 5 months. So we're going to come back down and test the lower side of the range, and that's probably around the 4,800 level. And then we'll see what happens next. I would say that the wild card for China is the Omicron variant, and it's a risk that I think is underappreciated, because the one thing that China has been, I think, twinned with in the minds of investors has been their success with containing the spread of the coronavirus over the last 2 years. And the initial infection rate was high, and the Delta variant was higher, and now the Omicron variant is higher again. And the Domestic Chinese population, well, they haven't had the same run-ins with infection like most other countries have. So then the domestic vaccines were less than perfect in terms of dealing with the Delta variant, and will be even more less than perfect dealing with the Omicron variant. And the country is still locked down, and traveling there is still subject to very long periods of quarantine. But then you have the Winter Olympics coming up in February, and that's an international competition with lots of athletes arriving. And obviously, there's going to be a big quarantine control around the event. But the one thing that we've seen with the Omicron variant is the speed with which it's spreading is orders of magnitude higher than the Delta variant. And China did have difficulty with containing the Delta variant. So when we think about where will the money come from to sustain bull markets? Well, the Federal Reserve has already told us that they're going to accelerate their taper, and they're looking at potentially raising rates next year. So then the big question will be, how much will China spend? We're already seeing that consumer spending is deteriorating, so that's going to hit economic growth. But if they have a significant issue with the Omicron variant, well, then that really could be a catalyst for significant additional spending and fiscal stimulus. So it is certainly something to pay attention to, because it would be obviously a failure in terms of the lockdowns, and it would question the efficacy of the measures that have been put in place over the last 2 years, and it would probably force the Communist Party to double down even harder on their lockdowns if the Omicron variant does start to run riot around the country. So obviously there's a lot at play here. And of course, when we think then about the number of hospitalizations that have jumped higher in the UK, well, that's a highly immunized country. And obviously China is lagging behind simply because of the sheer volume of people. So that also, of course, means that it's a risk. I'm not saying it's an inevitability, but it's something that we should be considering in terms of what the risks are, because the chart patterns in China aren't really compelling, and we're definitely getting a short-term oversold condition on the Hang Seng, and it broke downwards in a pretty dynamic manner in here today. So again, we're still seeing downward trends. And economic growth hasn't really been surging. In fact, it's been disappointing. And the government have been very tight in terms of their fiscal condition. And obviously, they're trying to put some distance between their policies and those of the rest of the world. And they think that by taking some economic pain now, they're going to be in a more competitive position later. And they might be right. But obviously, if then they have additional factors to take into account, and there are increasingly potential volatility in the different variables, well, then that's going to increase the potential for fiscal stimulus. And capital is both global and mobile. So what happens in terms of global liquidity is certainly going to be important in terms of the ability of the stock markets to continue to find support at favorable levels. And the Nikkei was also in negative territory today, but it has not broken down from the range. And with Wall Street pairing its decline in here towards the close, well, it might steady tomorrow. And then when we think about Australia, well, the ASX 200 is right in the region of the trend mean as well, and continues so far to hold the advance. What I found particularly interesting today was that Europe held up reasonably well, and the Euro stocks was off its lows and down really only very marginally. So I think the bigger risks are sitting with the USA because of the overvaluation and the reliance on liquidity, and then the interest rate pressure that's starting to build on the economy. And I think it's also particularly relevant that gold has been quite steady, and that Bitcoin is behaving much more like a risk asset. Now, gold prices did close on the low of the day and were down about $8, but still holding around this $1,800 level, and certainly not exhibiting the same kind of volatility that we've seen in stock markets. Now, the VIX index did pop right up on the upside today, but then paired that advance into the close, so it did not hold the move above the 25 level. And oil prices had also pulled back in a violent manner in early trading, and then also paired the decline to well, it looks on the chart to almost unchanged, even though it was down $1.50. But what it looks like is a higher reaction low. Now, ultimately, it's going to have to sustain a move above about $75 in order to really demonstrate that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. But certainly, closing off the lows like this today is encouraging action. So, the darling of the stock market this year has been Devon Energy, and the price has been among the best performers over the course of this year, and it gapped lower in here today, and following oil prices lower, and then closed well off the lows. So potentially this is another higher reaction low, and it's finding support in the region, or at least above the previous range. And of course, one of the primary reasons that people are interested, are willing to buy it on the dip, is because of the yield, and there have been special cash dividends on every one of the dividend payments in 2021. So investors are betting that the strong cash flow position that some of the better shale oil companies have will persist into 2022. So, and I think that is quite possible. But, and of course, the big difference here, and something that is helping to support oil prices, has been the fact that the shale producers are not competing with one another to capture licenses or to drill as many holes as possible. Instead, they're much more focused on profitability now than they have been in the past. And that also means that supply growth is going to moderate. And if that's the case, well, then it's going to act as a support for oil prices. And every major company is trying to figure out how they can continue to produce and also comply with increasingly onerous carbon regulation. And carbon credits today were extremely, or over the last 2 or 3 days, have been exceptionally volatile. So we had the big breakdown on Friday, and we had a big rebound in here today. So this looks like the beginning of another range, and we're still in a bull market environment overall, and not least because this is a politically motivated price. So as we look around the world, there are big questions about the sustainability of asset price inflation and the consistency of trends, because we have these questions about the willingness of central banks and governments to continue to inflate asset prices. So 10-year yields today are still holding the lower side of the range and closed above the 1.4% level. So this was also a day where both equities and bonds sold off, and that's more evidence of risk-off activity. Even though we saw that stock markets rebounded off their lows, we didn't have the same kind of buying pressure in the bond markets. So there's still a lot of uncertainty around, and emerging market volatility has also picked up. And obviously, stock markets and global investors, they They favor improving standards of governance and market-friendly administrations in emerging markets. And obviously, Turkey and Chile don't exactly have those at present. As we think about what's likely in 2022, what the big question for everyone is going to be, how much is China going to print? I suspect that they're going to engage in a lot of fiscal stimulus, but that they're probably going to wait until they absolutely have to do something. And that's going to be dictated by both the condition of the property market and also the Omicron variant. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.